Wave through happens. For those of you who don't live near a border, or those, I guess now it happens probably less and less, but when I first started practicing in the late 80s, you got into a car, you drove up to El Paso, they talked to the driver, maybe, maybe not, didn't talk to anyone else in the car, they look in, they wave you on through. That's a wave through. To the people in the car, they thought they came in illegally. For the purposes of adjustment of status, they were admitted. And now, based upon this Castillo case, they've also been admitted in any status for the purposes of cancellation of removal.
So here's, if your client is in removal proceedings and there's a wave through, sometimes ICE will not acknowledge it when they've prepared the ICE. And so your client is maybe placed in 212 proceedings, right? Entry without being inspected. And so you've got to be aware of the burdens of proof, right? Because if you admit essentially the box and you admit the one and two, you're essentially conceding and are not going to be able to fight the way through. And so it's discovering early on that your client was waived through requires you to have an approach at the 240 proceedings of essentially denying everything, because eventually what you're looking for is an evidentiary hearing on the waive through.
Correct. Be very, very careful at a master. What can go wrong at a master, right? A lot. And this is one of those things. You know, all I'm going to do is plead and then we'll worry about relief. Well, you know, this is an important safety tip, is that if you plead and admit that there's an illegal entry, you're going to have a real rough time going back afterwards. They're going to say, you were counsel, you were asked on the record, you admitted and conceded based upon your client. You know, we're not going to go there anymore. You've already made and made this admission. So at the master, be aware. Things can go wrong at a master. You can give up relief at a master. This is one way to give up relief. There's a question there. Can you come up to the mic if you can? Thank you. Be careful.
We are seeing this in San Antonio a little bit, even with our angel judge. He is rushing us into pleadings. Some of us got caught with our pants down. And we felt rushed, so now we're taking another stance. But when you say, basic question, I'm sorry, is it termination or suppression if we're going to use the way through as to attack number one and number two? What should we prepare to be to brief or?
I would not get hung up on what language you're going to use. Your client was admitted. So the allegations on the NTA aren't consistent with someone who's been admitted, right? And so you have to deny them. And what actually that means is that if you deny them, is that you're actually asking for termination. But don't worry about the labels. What's more important is the approach that you preserve your client's right to challenge or to establish that that he or she was waived through.
Do you have any evidentiary suggestions for a waive through to support?
So other than, you know, you deny the allegations, right? And then it'll depend on the facts of your case.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll have testimony. Right. There's other people in the car, right?
There's other people in the car, right? Depending on when it happened, the TEEQ system or whatever system they had at the port of entry, if it was in a car, will capture the license plates. So you remember we have a right to discovery. Notwithstanding what the treatise is and what many lawyers say, you have a right to discovery, particularly if you're saying that you were admitted. So you would insist on that. You know, I'm not just making this up. So we had a client in the same situation, right? So there is a GAO report from, I don't remember what the date is, that essentially acknowledged that wave-throughs during a certain period of time along the Texas-Mexico border, you know, was not uncommon, or that it was not, essentially there were failures in the system that allowed it. So we try to put that in. You know, we serve subpoenas trying to get a immigration officer with knowledge of what the procedures were back in 2003 at the Laredo Port of Entry number 2, and to acknowledge that, you know, that there were instances that, not that he acknowledged, it was about creating the record. So we served that subpoena, right? And then we went to court, try to get the judge to issue the subpoena. not that we the judge ordered it, but again, it's about creating a record, because if your client loses, you're going to be taking this up. And you don't want to be just arguing, well, there in the transcript it says that I requested, you know, a hearing, or that I wanted an officer to testify. You actually have to submit papers and motions and get the judge to rule on this. So, you know, the report, getting someone to testify, and then preparing your client for testimony, who else was in the car, who else was accompanying them, you know, requesting records of, depending on when the car passed through, if it was in a car, whether they have pictures of the license plates. There is these wonderful, like, DHS reports about privacy interests, PAIs they're called. And so you can read them and figure out at what point in time DHS started to essentially track all that information. You'll have to do the research about the time in question for your client.
Thank you.
Most. I had a case like that in San Antonio. My client had tried adjusting in El Paso, and he wound up in San Antonio, and he had been waved through. He told me that when he was young, he had kind of reddish hair, saw some tourists walking across the bridge, walking across in San Diego. And so he joined them, and they were waved through.